Hi, this is Alvin McDonald, and you're listening to Shanghai Comedy Corner Podcast.
Dear Shanghai fans, Shanghai trash, real Shanghai goods in fake Laowais. This week's podcast episode is brought to you by Comfort in China. Anyone who has spent any time in China knows about hardwood beds you don't want to jauntily jump on, faulty showerheads for a surprise water disaster in the mornings, stubborn windows that let Siberian blizzards in, taxi back seats that suck you into a deep vortex of nasty past rides, that middle-aged guy practically crushing you on the subway because he thinks he can sit and squeeze his giant backside into that tiny space between you and the old lady, and the melodious 7 a.m. drill of a happy construction worker behind your bedroom wall. As you grow older, you learn to appreciate the little comforts in your life. Your Uniqlo underwear in winter, a massage center anywhere you go, hot water, cheap food, noise-blocking headphones, delivery everything, and your resourceful Chinese friends. Welcome to the 57th Shanghai Comedy Corner Podcast, the only podcast that makes you feel comfy in the ears. Today I'm talking to Alden MacDonald, an actress, model, voice artist, and many other things from the United States. It's random, it's fun, and it's as unexpected as an uneventful trip anywhere outside your apartment. Subscribe to our WeChat account, SHCC Podcast, to win things, and check out our website, shanghaicomedycorner.com. Hi, Alden.
Hi, I feel so comfy now.
You do? Now you're sleeping. Oh, come on, come on. Well, so I need to explain a little bit to our audience how you basically came to be here on the podcast, because I met you on WeChat a while ago as I was included in one of these groups, one of these WeChat groups, one of these many, lots of WeChat groups, which is basically the scourge of civilization as it is now, WeChat groups. Mm-hmm. And I discovered more about you as you were trying to help people maneuver and
navigate
yes, in the world of basically Shanghai acting jobs and gigs related to artists and performers. So I was very interested, and we met once as like a little meeting for people, like-minded people, wanted to know more about the industry.
Yeah.
And that's why I invited you, because I think you are a trove of stories and experiences. You know, I'm really passionate about sharing all this and letting people know what it's like, and also, you know, helping people to understand.
Too. Yeah, I think that's why we started it. I think you're talking about Famous.
Yes.
It's not a secret, right?
We can say that. Not.
FAMOS, which is Foreign Actors and Models of Shanghai. And basically, yeah, you came to one of the meetings. I was so happy to see you. Any kind of support is amazing. And just sharing information and stories and trying to keep each other safe and trying to improve transparency and, I mean, all things, aspects of the acting community here.
So you come from a lot of places. When I ask you where you grew up, you just like five different places: Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, New York.
Yes.
So can you explain why did you move so much around?
Well, I think a lot of Americans actually move around quite a bit. My mother is also in New Mexico now. Let's see. Texas and Oklahoma, no one would stay if they had to. do remember, those are the states with guns, and those are the states with, you know, cattle. So I escaped there as soon as I possibly could, went to boarding school. I put myself into boarding school. I also got myself kicked out of boarding school.
Well, I want to hear about that.
No, it's not that interesting. I got caught in a boy's room. It was not that interesting. But what's interesting is my brother had also gone to boarding school, and he got kicked out as well. So it's in our genes.
It runs in the family.
Yeah. And then ended up going to Colorado University to study film and Japanese. Go figure.
Go figure.
Right? That doesn't help me at all here, by the way. Japanese language, nobody uses.
Do you still practice or talk Japanese?
No. Nihongo hanashimasu. Ni hao is what I have now. Let's see, I dropped out to become a snowboarder.
You did. You told me you were a snowboard tour guide.
Yes, yes.
In the
in Crested Butte, Colorado.
Okay.
It's the home of the X Games, Winter Games. Yes, and I started a skate snowboard shop, and I was kind of Wendy of the Lost Boys there.
Okay.
I love, still, to this day, snowboarding and skateboarding, and it's kind of my passion, and I decided, how do I make a living doing this? And I got into fashion because I wanted to make snowboard gear. I went to New York City to study fashion. I ended up working for Tommy Hilfiger. Of course, he hired me to make men's underwear. So no free samples for me. Or I did get free samples, but I didn't really get them. Oh, yeah, it's a long story. But anyway.
I can see Eldon trying on free samples just for because I got free samples. I need to try them on.
And then ended up going to California again for a skate job for North Face and Shorties and their old brands. And then got married and started my own company making hats and bags and jewelry out of Shanghai. Everything out of Shanghai, actually. Not Shanghai, sorry, China. So my husband got hired to come to Shanghai and all my friends are like, oh, look at you, finally going to China. And I'm like, it's not for me, it's for him. So we came here and we went through the whole Laowai experience of 100 health checks and they wrote down on my form, you know, what are you here for? And what's your job description? And I said, I'm a designer. And the first person took a huge black Sharpie marker and crossed it out.
Wow.
Housewife.
Ooh.
And those are my first tears shed.
Oh, no.
In Shanghai.
Oh.
But, you know, every opportunity that's shut in your face dramatically like that becomes a new opportunity. And I thought, okay, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? I don't have to be a designer anymore. Okay.
Can be whatever you want.
Acting, maybe I could do it. And so, how we ended up here, right?
6 years ago.
Oh, no, only 3.5 years
ago. Oh, 3.5 years ago.
Don't give me that much credit.
The impression you give is like you already have a lot of experience going to different gigs and talking to agents. You can offer a lot of background information and safety tips and also a spreadsheet of like, this is what you need to know about any job before you accept to do anything. This came about how? Because you started on your own, I guess, and you started like networking and seeing people. But you started building up a bank, some sort of information.
I had a terrible experience. I think that's how a lot of stories start, right? I had a horrible experience. I went to a job with my son. We were shuttled out to the middle of nowhere and didn't know where we were and didn't speak the language. The agent didn't show up for 5 hours. We were there. Didn't know what we were supposed to be doing, you know. Another boy got in on the shoot. It turns out that at the end they were only supposed to pay for one boy, so they split half our money. And I was like, no, that's not what we signed up for. We were here for 13 hours. And as we're getting on the bus, the agent starts running away. Like, whoa, what are you doing? Like I said, there's no way for us to get home. We had to take the bus home, and we're yelling at each other and blah, blah, blah. And I get home, and I finally speak to a couple other friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's happened to me, too. What do you mean that's happened to you, too? Like, you should tell Warner brother, you know?
Yeah.
So I went home and automatically just started going out to everyone, being like, have you worked with this agent? Have you worked with this agent? What's your best experience? What's your worst experience? Let's put it together. And I am queen of Excel.
You are.
I am. So I just started making lists and making objectives and trying to help out any of my friends that I could and at the same time saving our own butts.
Yeah, because for people who don't know too much about what you do and other people do, they go from job to job. Mm-hmm. Basically, they look at postings on different websites or even WeChat and, you know, they try to see the requirements. They go, but it's a very shady, unsure, uncertain business because there's a lot of question marks. What do you think this is due to? What do you think the main reason is that when you go for a job, it's never quite clear or there's always a lot of missing information? What does it boil into?
Two things. I think there's a cultural difference and I also think there's a language barrier. So I think WeChat is fantastic in some ways because it can translate for you and it can also hide you. And I think a lot of people here like to hide behind the social technology, you know, it kind of protects them. The other thing is they can write a text and then translate it really easily. So if they don't understand English, then they can still do that very easily.
Sure.
So, and the third element of that is the less amount of information they give you, maybe the less they have to pay.
And the more power maybe they have over you.
Yeah, or gives them more leeway to change things along the way. So I always tell people, actor that gets the job is the actor that had the most information. It's vital. A lot of times you'll see a posting saying, need boys 110 centimeters. That's it.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Where do you need these? What do you need these boys to do? And
what is it for?
Yeah, exactly. Because in America, I laugh about this constantly. When would I ever take a job based on a text message that I got on my phone asking for a boy. I mean, it sounds so wrong in so many ways.
Mm.
So our first job that we got was done this way with WeChat. You know, show up at this place for a casting. I don't know this person. And I don't know that place. And I don't speak the language well. How would my husband would like, look, you're a pretty big girl. If anything happens, you push him and you run. Okay, good point. Good point. So.
Yeah, but see, you don't want to get in scrapes just because, you know.
But it's pretty safe here.
Yeah, it's pretty safe. My understanding of the situation is that also sometimes these agents or so-called agents are not full-time agents. They're just people trying to make a little bit of money and commission money, basically.
Yeah.
And they know some people, they know directors or production agencies, and they're just scouting people around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, oh, you know, they give me 10,000 and I'm going to ask for a 3,000 paid job.
Yeah, the mathematics of bookers is quite fantastic. The mythology I've heard is amazing as well. Don't get me wrong, I really believe that there is a place for agents, bookers, whatever you want to call them. They have helped me immensely, and I actually don't want to take jobs without them.
Mm.
I need a middleman to handle the Chinese aspects of things that I don't understand. I haven't been here long enough. I don't have the contacts with the clients, and quite frankly, I don't want to.
Mm.
They deal with the money transactions. You know, they pay me that day. They don't get paid for several months after the job's done. They can understand the language well enough and transportation, book tickets, that sort of thing. So I am totally 100% saying that everybody should still use these agents. However, there are many agents that don't know what they're doing. They're brand new on the scene. They don't have enough money for any kind of catastrophe that might happen. They're not trustworthy only because they just haven't done it long enough.
They don't know the ins and outs of handling people.
Right, and that's why we have this group, to help you ask the right questions and help you help the agent do a good job.
You're admin for a WeChat group called Famous. We mentioned that. But you're also helping facilitate a group for kids modeling as well, because your kids also into modeling. How do you approach this with your kids? Because obviously you're a mom, you're a foreigner. How do you manage this?
It's a lot. We have over 200 kids. When I say 200 kids, I have 200 parents. Those parents could have more than one kid. So we have several hundred kids, all expats, English speaking to the most part. I don't know how I handle it all, to be honest. But I still believe that if you help someone, in the end, they end up helping you too.
Mm.
So I think that I'm a better person for just at least giving that effort.
Do your kids see this? So sometimes I would think, like, sometimes I'm not a parent, but think, oh, you know, if you put them in the position of being a little star, you know. So how do you approach that with your own kids, and how do you see this happening with other families?
It's really interesting, actually, because before we came here, I would never have allowed this sort of thing.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Well, I've seen toddlers and tiaras, or I don't know what it's called, something like that in America, you know, where beauty pageants and sparkly tiaras and whatever else. And I have boys, so I would never have thought, you know. One time my son actually asked me, why do they want me to do this? It's a good question.
Mm.
I'm not sure, honey, because you look a certain part and you can sell a product because you look a certain part. I don't ever say it's because you're pretty or because you're better than anybody else. That's actually false. That's not why he's hired. He looks like what he's supposed to look like. He looks like a lot of different kids, and that's what they want.
Mm.
Has it gone to their heads? No, they're still very young, so they really don't understand what's going on. I try and pick and choose jobs that are fun for them, and they get to meet other kids, so it's like an activity. And as you know, living in Shanghai, the weather's terrible.
Mm.
Pollution's even worse. So if we even have a sunny day and it's -7, what do? And I don't want them to watch games on the TV anymore. I want them to go out and do experience and have opportunities. And I feel like this is hopefully opening a door for them. And if they choose to go through that door later on, great. And if not, hey, we got some pictures.
I like the way you approach it. Very, you know, easygoing, but also very generously trying to share everything. You said you had an upcoming TV show and car commercial coming up. Is it gone already, or is it still in the works?
Let's see. TV show's on Thursday.
Ooh.
2 days. Just has to do with Chappelle's. I just got invited to co-host. It was a really nice, easy gig. And I would love, actually, to do more of that. Interact with local Chinese and local businesses. Try and open the eyes of other Laowai. This is what's going on. Isn't this cool? You know, and half in Chinese, half in English. So that we are experiencing something together. So many times Laowai go to the fake market or go to, you know, some kind of fancy Western restaurant. And there's no other Chinese people there. And I think this is not real. Go out and do something fun with a Chinese person and see what their reaction is. It's going to be different than yours, which is really interesting.
I saw you in a commercial, I think. I love the talent and how professional the whole little short story, because it told us a little story, but it was so complex to sell such a simple product. It was like someone dreaming or rethinking about something that might have happened for rice. It was a rice cooker thing. And the extent of complexity about the whole scenario of someone on his deathbed, you being the wife, sending for some sort of rice and finding out the best. Basically, it was about the best.
It's for super rice cooker.
It's a super rice cooker that knows the perfect formula to,
So the professor that came up with steam engines is dying and basically comes up with this rice cooker. Well, the steam that might make this rice cooker or whatever. So that's a very, it's very unique to China, I think, where they call them Wei Dianings, which is like a micro movie, and it's on internet and whatever. And I've done two of them, actually, this one and another one for Wall Street English, and it sells a product. And actually, I find them very interesting because in America, we'll do a movie and then we'll do product placement in that movie. Yeah. You know, like Ford Escape is in the Jurassic Park movie, and you're not supposed to notice that it's Ford, but of course it's flashing.
It's kind of subliminal.
Right. And here it's more of like product, a little bit of information, product. That particular one that you're talking about went from shooting to edited version on the internet within like a week. So fast.
This is very fast, yeah.
Very fast.
Because it's a complex movie.
Right.
There are flashbacks, different time periods, costumes, special effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe the main Chinese character in the present modern setting is quite famous.
Yeah, never met him.
Right.
He's done someplace else.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that was going to happen. And that's a lot of things that happen too. You show up on these sets and you're not given a script. You're not even told who you are. So here I am, you know, they're like, okay, you're going to walk over here and you're going to ask him something. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I got all the information I need. And I walk over to the bedside and I'm like, John, are you okay? Cut. Wait, what? His name's James. Well, might have been a part of the information you should have given me before. Do I have a name? So I hear a lot of times, acting in China, it's just because you're a Laowai, so you get all these opportunities so easy. And I think to myself, are you kidding? It's so easy to get a job here where you don't speak the language. You can't read the script. The script's not given to you until 5 minutes before you start. You look like no one. You smell like no one. It's not that easy. It might open a door, my face. The whiteness and the English speaking might open a door.
But you need to do the rest.
Yeah.
I agree. I remember being on a Chinese TV set recently. It's going to be on soon on the internet. I don't know. So it was perfect because I spoke French and I could improvise, and I really liked that. But at the last minute, they just said, oh, scratch that speech you're supposed to make. Just say whatever you want in French that is related to love. So it was very funny because I was saying, you know, it was not silly things, but it was a little bit, you know, whatever I wanted, you know. So I went on and on about how love can be terrible, but also beautiful. And then I just like went on and on. And
it was probably beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was funny. I was laughing inside because I was like, if anybody watches this show and understands French, they're going to say, this guy is nuts.
That's it. I'm finding a French person to sit down and watch with me.
And they loved it. And then, as you said, it's like, okay. And then the director came over and said, okay, turn over, do this, do that. And I had no idea. It took me the whole evening of shooting to understand the concept of the scene, which was really weird and sad because I was supposed to be a friend to the main character who's pretending to talk to his own girlfriend, but actually he had his friend say this for his own girlfriend. So he walks in and says, you know that guy who spoke French, and then you translated what he said, that was actually for you. Like, okay, that's very convoluted thinking, you know. But it was funny. It was funny. It was just a lot of fun. And I also didn't know about these Chinese stars, rising Chinese stars, you know. And
I find that very embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
I need to study more. I should be respectful and start actually.
But they don't tell you sometimes that they're there, you know?
Yeah, but how pretentious of me to think, oh, everybody knows the American stars. I live in China. I should know the Chinese stars, you know, and I should start watching their shows so that I can better be prepared for what, you know, they bring towards us. So you'll have to tell me when that comes online.
I will. It's April, May on the internet.
Okay.
It's called Fanyinguan, the Interpreters. And it's a thing they're supposed to shoot the rest of the TV series in France because it's interpreters, French Chinese interpreters. So
I get to go.
No, I don't. No, I hoped that they liked my face and just like send me to Paris for more scenes, but I don't like, no. I also want to know things that happen on set, you know, one of those moments where you're on set and you're like, this is not happening. This is, you know, this is weird, or I never expected that. I know that you can't stand bones in meat, and you posted things about meals on set.
It's a contest that I wanted to start. Everyone who's on set, send me a picture of your lunch for the day, because I've seen some amazing things.
So are you writing a screenplay, or is that just a goal you have?
That's a goal. That's a fail club. Have you ever heard of fail club? Fail club?
Fail club.
Yeah.
Not really.
So it's like basically a group of friends getting together and making a group, and then you each put down whatever your dream is that you want to accomplish, right? Even if it's just the craziest thing that you've ever thought of. And it could be something like take over the world, or it could be something like run a marathon. But you go in with the intentions that you're going to fail. Right? And all your friends are like, not gonna let you fail. You're gonna have to do this. And you constantly tell each other what you're doing and update each other, and it gets to a place where you're gonna run this marathon. Whether or not you finish is up to you, but we're gonna get you there, right? We wake you up in the morning, we take you at 5 a.m, you're still wearing your pajamas.
We'll register
you.
We're
gonna get you there. Right? So yes, that'd be one of my fail clubs. That and sing a song. Terrible singing. I'm a horrible singer.
Are you?
But auto-tune is pretty good. I'm thinking I could do something. So, yeah. Writing something right now. I would love to take everybody in Famous and come up with something that we can showcase each other's like strengths and talents. Because I have so many friends also in China Indie Film. And I know that they have amazing cinematographers and lighting and sound and whatever else. And we just have all this talent just ready to work. And so many times you go on these shoots and you never even get a copy. You have no way of making a reel to show the next agent, the next client. And they're like, show me what you can do. And you're like, I don't know, because I can't find it. So if we could do this together and just short clips or short stories or whatever and put them together and then have something physical to show the next person about what you're capable of doing. So I don't know if it's a script or if it's just a day in a life or what, but yeah. Can I tell you a story then?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's not that, it's like a story about nothing, right?
Okay,
that's
cool.
Like what Seinfeld is all about, a
yeah.
story about nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I finally got a scooter. We were 6 months in, and when you finally get a scooter here, you just feel like liberated.
You do.
Oh my gosh, I can get around without having to rely on a taxi and I can discover things on my own. I can go the wrong way down a wrong way street, whatever.
Yeah.
So I jump on my scooter and I go to the grocery store. Exciting! But anyway, I park out front and I take my trusty little lock and you lock the front. And the guy who is fixing shoes or making keys or something yelling at me in Chinese. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, and I've been here now 6 months, remember? So I already know how to yell back. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I don't care. Whatever. And I'm going to the grocery store. That's the best Chinese I can do. Anyway, he's yelling at me, I'm yelling at him, and I feel accomplished because I'm going to the grocery store. And I come back out, and I notice there's a huge crowd gathered around my scooter. This is going on. And I notice there's one guy on the ground with a hammer just wailing at my lock. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, really? In the middle of the day, like, you're trying to steal my scooter? And right as I'm about to be like, wait, Shema, why? I notice I've locked my lock on somebody else's scooter. And the guy in the very beginning was just trying to tell me, hey, stupid blonde girl, he just locked my buddy's scooter to something and now he's late for his job. And I'm yelling back, being like, I don't care, because I'm allowed why, and I can do this, right?
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, about nothing.
That's great. Sorry, I'm going to keep that.
Okay, it's all yours. You know what else I want? Do you remember AbFab?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love AbFab.
Love those women, right?
Yes.
Totally crazy, too much money, totally drunk every day, all
drunk
day.
Drunk all the time.
And I meet these women in Pudong and Jinchao all the time.
You do?
Yes, because they're here and they're bored out of their minds. Because they are following spouse and they just don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And they don't have to drive. right? Because they have a car and driver.
Oh, wow.
I want to be one of them. I'm not one of them, but I want to be one of them. So if I get to be that girl in your TV,
yeah, sure.
I'm in.
Cool. Let's do this. Now, you wrote that the one of the best moments in your life is not giving birth.
Yeah, you know, all these moms are always like, the best day of my life is when my child was born. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, your life sucks, because birth for me was 26 hours of pain, not being able to eat, you know, being cut open, blah, blah, blah. And then you're handed this thing that doesn't talk and doesn't care about you, you know, and screaming his head off. And I'm thinking, that's the best day. Now, every day since then has gotten better. And I will say 7 years since, I would never take those away. But people who say that's the best day, I think, I don't trust this person.
Maybe in retrospect,
right?
You know, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Still no.
And one of the worst moments in my life was a Carrefour moment.
Oh.
Now, as a French person, I take this as a personal offense.
It is. I meant that as a personal
attack. I don't care. I haven't been in Carrefour here in like 10 years or something.
And how long have you been here?
Well,
yes. There you go.
What happened?
We call it a Carrefour moment, and I will tell you that the only reason or way I have survived the 3 years is I have a good group of Thai Thai friends, and almost all of us have experienced the same moment where it's about 3 weeks in, and you trust yourself enough to go to the grocery store, not the wet market. No, you're not there yet, right? But you're still going to Carrefour, which you think is nightmarish, right? You just can't even believe it. So you go, and you're like, okay, I'm going to get through this. But you still navigate your way through, and you get to the produce area, and you grab what you need, and you get some bread, and you get some, you know, window cleaner, whatever else. I remember getting to the checkout lane, and the girl instantaneously taking all my produce away. Because I didn't weigh it. I didn't know you had to weigh it, right? Takes it away and says, you can't have it. Okay, oh, that's all right. I still have a lot of stuff, right? And she's checking things over the scanner. And then she takes the window cleaner and scans it, and it breaks. And window cleaner goes all over my groceries.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, well, of course somebody's going to clean that up and go get me something else, right? And she just looks at me and she says, yeah, yeah. You want it? I think it just took me an hour to get all that stuff. And you don't have somebody to go run and get me other stuff? Yeah, I'll take it. I'm shaking at this point. My son is in the basket screaming his head off because the smells are just overwhelming us. And I'm, you know, she's like, where are your bags? And I'm like, I don't have bags. Packing everything into the bags. And I'm calling my husband being like, okay, the good news is we have bread. The bad news is it's soaked in window cleaner and we have no produce, but I'm coming home. So that was when I was like, what have I done? How did I get here?
You've gone to Carrefour. That's what you've done.
Yeah. Why are you here? How did you end up here? Like, that's the most interesting question I think every Laowai asks is like, why are you here? Really?
Well, I'm here in China.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's
12 years. Come on.
Yeah. I was bored.
That's the best answer I've heard so far.
I was bored. I honestly was bored. I had an okay job in England teaching, and it was fine. I had a good contract in an okay school where it was challenging, but I was learning a lot, and I thought, oh, this must be something else to life.
You know what I'm missing is some stinky tofu and some durian.
I'm missing some, I don't know, some ice cold apartment and things
and
I don't
VPN restrictions.
VPN restrictions, things I don't understand, and trips to God knows where.
But you stayed.
Yeah, I stayed because it's an amazing place. Because in spite of all the things we might complain about, and believe me, I hear a lot of them being part of the French community, and there's a lot of complaining around. It's still an amazing place in the sense that if you know how to grab opportunities, if you know how to look at life in a positive, quirky way, as I said in the introduction, it's impossible to have an uneventful journey outside your apartment. And I really mean it. It's like, open your eyes and you'll see things as a foreigner. Of course, if you're a Chinese person, even Chinese people, I'm sure, are amazed at the things that happen in their own countries.
Yeah.
In their own country. It's crazy. And it's like, really? I talked to a lot of, I have a lot of Chinese friends, you know, and then, so did you hear about that? And they're like, yeah, I know, that's crazy. And they're like, you're Chinese. And they're like, yeah, I know, I don't know. It's like, can you not account for all the craziness in China? I'm like, no. This guy is but fucking nuts.
And it's just like America when people are like, explain Trump to me, and I go, ugh.
Yeah. I did leave for a year. I did leave thinking I would not come back after 4 or 5 years. It's just like, okay, yeah, I love this place, but I need a break. And I ended up coming back because it was the easiest way around. And I knew a lot of people, and it was easy to come back. It was much easier the second time. Mm. I knew all the ropes, or most of them. I didn't get.
But they changed all of them.
They changed some of them. Yes, I didn't get scammed twice though. But yeah, so it's an amazing place. I might leave it again and come back later. Who knows? But yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
There are a ton of opportunities here everywhere you look. I mean, yesterday I was thinking, tamales. How come nobody makes tamales here? Where I'm from, that's the 2 a.m. food go-to, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if any tamales. Do you know tamales?
No, not really.
Well, start cooking them. You can make a fortune.
Yeah, I guess so. You just import.
And there's like TV shows right now looking for hosts, Laoi hosts.
Okay.
There's one in Ningbo, Nanjing, one or the other.
Okay, all right.
I'll send you that post.
Huh? Yeah, you're the resourceful lady now. I don't need a Chinese friend. That's older than my life.
It's true.
It's an amazing opportunity you've had to talk to you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, you've also. So full of stories. You're always like so positive about everything. It's great.
I hope that that's what I bring to people. I hope it's not a know-it-all. I hope it's like a self-deprecating, like, oh, this is what happened to me. Don't let it happen to you kind of thing. And I would hope that there would be more interaction, you know, like tell me what happened to you and we'll both avoid that. Or, hey, how do you make that work? You know? I watch the Chinese, they can MacGyver anything, and I'd like to see the Laoi do that too. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and I'm going to leave on that note. You're trying to make a website?
Yes.
Is it on?
It's in progress. It's in progress. If anybody out there is good at making websites, yeah. Basically, again, showcasing talent, showcasing the people that are here, what they can do, and then trying to take those people and connect them to the right agents and the right clients. I'm not trying to cut anyone out of that equation, just trying to make the relationships work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if anyone's listening to this and would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
WeChat, ALDENMCD,
okay.
I think is the right one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Or get hold of Julian and he'll have to pass it to me.
Yeah, I'll pass it to all of them. No worries. You can send a direct message to our WeChat, SHCC Podcast. And we'll... Thank you, Eldon.
Thank you for having me.
That was amazing.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
肯说爱。
Hi, this is Alvin McDonald, and you're listening to Shanghai Comedy Corner podcast.
Yeah, I can hear the smile in your voice. That's great.